Good morning, TNC family, on this third Sunday in 2024, where today here we're in part three of a four-part series called Where Are You Going? An appropriate series for January of any year, I think. Week one, we talked about where are you going. Last week, where are we going? Today, though, I want to talk about how, when, as you're headed somewhere in life, anywhere really, driving on the road, in school, pursuing a degree, at work, in relationships, dating, marriage, friendships, with finances, with personal character growth, when you're going somewhere, when you have a plan, when you're headed in one way, almost always there will come a time when someone or something slows you down, pushes back against you, or tries to derail you altogether. In the words of Bear Grylls, the famous former British elite forces military officer, the star of the TV show Man vs. Wild, the author of dozens of books, no plan survives first contact with the enemy. No matter how well you prepared for something in advance, whether it's an expedition, an exam, a marriage, or a race, when you find yourself in the thick of the action, however good your plan, things happen. Or, as Mike Tyson famously said, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. And so what matters, TNC, almost as much as your initial plan, is how you will adapt, how you will respond when, not if, when your plan gets hit in the face. Which doesn't mean you don't focus on that initial plan, a well thought out, prayed out, talked out plan. Of course you do. But it does mean, and this is what we're going to talk about today, that your life and mine will largely be determined by how we respond when stuff goes sideways, when things happen that we would prefer to not happen. And I say all of this because of, well, all the stories of the scriptures. Yep, every single one. Story after story after story of unexpected events and unanticipated turns that turn out to be defining moments in the lives of the people who experience them. All because of how they respond. I think of the shepherd boy David, who on an ordinary day goes to bring his brothers food on the front lines of Israel's army. And he does not know that on that day, a giant named Goliath will step into the ravine in the valley of Elah, insult his God, bait a battle, and he'll have to change his plans to respond to a new situation. And if you read the story, how he responds changes his life forever. And think about Ruth. It's an ordinary day when her mother-in-law decides to move away back to Judah, and she must choose how she will respond. Say goodbye with hugs and tears and well wishes, or decide, where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. And read the story, how she responds in the moment she does not seek out, that's not part of her plan A, how she responds changes her life forever. And the same is true throughout the scriptures. When Noah is told about the coming rain and flood, when Esther is called to confront a king, when Joseph finds himself in a pit and in prison, when an angel comes to Mary, when Paul is traveling on the road to Damascus, when John is exiled to the island of Patmos. The Bible is just filled with these stories. How your life plays out will largely be determined by how you respond to these unanticipated, unpredictable events, conversations, information, and moments. And so, in the time we have left here in part three of this series, I want to talk from the scriptures and from science today about five ways to respond when stuff goes sideways. They're not the only ways to respond. They're not the only five, but they are five responses you and I have the power to embrace and engage in this year, this month, even this week. So here's number one. First, when stuff goes sideways, keep your mind steady, because the temptation will be to freeze or fight or shout or cry or hoard or retreat or to give up or to lose it. all of which is like 99.999% of the time unhelpful. There's a great chapter all about this in a 2022 publication called Do Hard Things, Why We Get Resilience Wrong, and the Surprising Science of Real Toughness. It's by a man named Steve Magnus, a world-renowned expert on performance in the mind and how they interact. And in the book, he writes about four pillars of toughness. And the third pillar is all about how you respond when you get punched in the face. The title of chapter 8 is called Keep Your Mind Steady. And now let me quote. When, not if, but when plans go bad, there is an alarm bell in the brain, the amygdala, which has a distinctive response to the stressor. An initial spike within the first 5 to 8 seconds, and then a decline in activity for the next 5 seconds as the signal returns toward the baseline. And when we think about emotional reactivity, he writes, we often concern ourselves with the initial jolt, the initial sound of the alarm. But research shows that it's not whether or not the amygdala is activated, but how long it takes to return to normal. And then he goes on to write about how it turns out that most of us end up reacting to the reverberations of the amygdala inside our head, not to the actual stressor event. For most of us, we are not only responding to the actual stress, but to the reverberations of it. And he goes on to talk about habits of the mind, patterns of synapse firing that allow us to steady our mind and to respond to just the stresses that come our way and not all the reverberations inside of us. Now, this coincidentally is something that Lauren Dungy says in the book she co-authored with her husband, Tony Dungy, a book called Uncommon Influence. Tony Dungy, some of you know, is a former football player and coach, a Super Bowl champion. He now travels the country weekly as a TV commentator for NFL games. Tony and Lauren have 12 children, well, actually 11, 3 biological, 9 adopted, and 1 who was tragically killed, who died. And Lauren writes a chapter in the book called Choose Steadiness. She says, I'm old enough to have learned a tough lesson, which is that life almost never goes according to plan. At any given time in the Dungy household, 10 to 15 bodies are moving about. More if any of the kids have friends over. I tell people that controlled chaos is about the best I can ever hope for. But, she says, regardless of the problems life presents us with, Tony has taught me to stay strong, calm, and steady. No blaming, shaming, or stomping around, because we have learned that if we do operate in this way, blame, shame, stomping, we let a passing incident become a trend and then a lifestyle. We become people who overreact. And she goes on to talk about systems of steadiness that they've set up, about how she's learned that what's going on inside of her determines what will get produced outside. Now I'm going to quote to you the words of Jesus, Luke chapter 6. A good person brings good things out of the good stored up in their heart, and an evil person brings evil things out of the evil stored up in their heart. It's about the inside steadiness, Jesus says. Or the wise King Solomon writes, Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, as a man thinks in his heart, as he thinks, so he is. Or the Apostle Paul, Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. And so, TNC, the target area is what's going on inside. When you get punched in the face, when stuff goes sideways, how are you doing at developing systems to keep your mind steady? Now, here I'll just mention 3 systems that these folks have talked about in both of these books. Number 1, they both say you have to find moments of daily solitude. Meditation, reflection, prayer, call it what you will. Something I will add that Jesus did all the time, solitude, prayer, meditation. You have to find that. Number two, they both say exercise, physical exercise. Nothing beats it for mind health. And number three, they talk about the development of daily habits, not random activities for your day. Or in the words of Gretchen Rubin, what you do every day matters more than what you do once in a while. Or in the words of James Clear and his best-selling book, Atomic Habits, your habits, your daily habits, have the power of an atomic bomb inside of you, which means, TNC, don't exercise once a week, exercise every day. Don't go to church three times a year, go to church three times a month. Don't find moments of solitude once a month, every other weekend. Find them daily. Habits, habits, habits. Okay, that's number one. When stuff goes sideways, keep your mind steady. Number two, when stuff goes sideways, and it will, learn. Learn from it. Because personalities get magnified when stuff goes sideways. And of course, it's easier to see things in life when they're magnified. Think of a magnifying glass. This is directly from the scriptures. If you want to know about, say, Jacob's character, I can't tell you much about his character when everything goes as planned. But when Esau, his brother, unexpectedly comes back from a hunting trip, famished and hungry, watch how Jacob treats him, and Jacob's character will be revealed. If you want to know about Esther's character, just wait till Xerxes issues an unexpected and discriminatory law. Want to know about Mary's character? Wait till stuff goes sideways. I'm telling you, stuff goes sideways and personalities get amplified. Jerks are bigger jerks. Pessimists are bigger pessimists. Optimistic people are more optimistic. Generous people are more generous. Dr. Phil, by the way, even talks about this. I've mentioned this before. He calls it patterns of behavior. And he observes that in life, the way you learn about other people is, well, you just watch them. You watch what they do. You watch it across time. And based on their patterns of behavior, you can attribute certain characteristics to them. And then he goes on, in the same way, you should learn about yourself. Watch yourself. Watch what you do. Watch what you say across time. And based on your patterns of behavior, you can learn about yourself. And so the wisdom here, TNC, is pay attention and use setbacks as opportunities to learn, first about yourself and then about others. And I say about yourself first, just because if you look in the mirror first, then I think you're honoring the wisdom of Jesus in Luke 6, verse 42. He says, how can you say to your brother, let me take out the speck in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then Jesus says you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So that's number two, when stuff goes sideways, take advantage of the magnified view. Pay attention, learn. Now number three, when stuff goes sideways, widen your view. Widen your view. Let me explain. I remember a day many years ago, I was talking with a guy named Brian. I said, hey, how's your day, Brian? He's like, bad day. I said, oh, I'm so sorry. Tell me about it. It was a bad day. My boss got in my case about sales. And then on the way home, it took me an extra 15 minutes to get home because of traffic. And of course, I was semi-quoting the famous line, did you have a bad day or was it a bad 5 minutes? You milked all day. It reminds me of an interview I listened to recently with Dave Ramsey, the financial advisor and guru. He said, quote, if you're standing up to your neck in manure and you take a snapshot of that and then say, that is my whole life, then you will feel hopeless. He goes on, but life is not a snapshot. It is a film strip. And in the next frame, it will either get better or worse. And then the frame after that, it will either get better or get worse. And 1 or 2 or 3 years from now, you are likely to be okay if you don't get stuck in the manure. He goes on, so take the longer perspective, the wider view. Don't panic based upon today's headline. You'll do better if you take the longer view. And that's number three, the third bit of wisdom. When stuff goes sideways, just pan back and try to view your life through a wider lens. Which leads to number four, companion to number three, actually, because it's the opposite side of the same coin. Here's number four: when stuff goes sideways, focus more narrowly. Focus on one thing. And here I actually want to share some wisdom from Jordan Peterson, the Canadian psychologist, teacher, and author, in his newest book called Beyond Order, where he has a chapter with a very long title. The title of the chapter is Work as Hard as You Possibly Can on At Least One Thing and Then See What Happens. And he talks about how he has actually seen this over and over and over across generations and economic situations and cultures. He says, if you'll narrow your focus, then good things tend to happen, not just in the one area, but then you create a ripple effect for every area. And he uses the example, actually, of the atomic element carbon and about how when it is subject to focused heat and focused pressure far below the Earth's surface, its atoms rearrange themselves into a perfect repeating crystalline alignment characterizing a diamond. He writes, and the same can be said of a person. If you scatter your attentions, you scatter yourself. And a house divided against itself cannot stand. A scattered person, he says, will experience increased suffering, magnification of anxiety, absence of motivation, and a lack of pleasure. And so he says, here's a place to start. Work as hard as you possibly can at just one thing and then see what happens, which he predicts, based on another 30 pages of evidence in the chapter, that there's going to be a domino effect of good in your life. Now, interestingly to me, Jesus offers a similar wisdom. You might remember Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God, and then everything else will be added unto you. Or I think about Mark chapter 12, when the religious leaders come to Jesus and they ask him about all of their 613 laws for living. Yep, they had 613. And Jesus says, Mark 12, well, here's what I do. Here's what I recommend. Narrow your focus. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. Finally, TNC number five, when stuff goes sideways, keep on investing in other people. Because the tendency is to retreat and to just think about yourself. But the best strategy is, when stuff goes sideways, keep investing in others. To quote Brené Brown, quote, we are hardwired to connect with others. That is what gives us purpose and meaning in our lives, and without that, there will be suffering. Stay connected, she says, no matter what. Or to quote again Timothy Keller, often the first step in coming to one's sense is when we finally start thinking of somebody, anybody, other than ourselves. When stuff goes sideways, he says the same thing. Stay connected. Keep on being generous with your words and actions. Don't let other people's problems derail your gratitude, your kindness, your behavior. Because no plan survives first contact with the enemy. And everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. So, what's the new plan when stuff goes sideways? Number one, steady your mind. Number two, pay attention and learn. Number three, see life as a film strip, not a snapshot. Number four, focus your attention. And number five, stay connected to the right relationships. Something I hope we always are for one another in our TNC family. And now I want to close in prayer and just pray once again the prayer of Numbers chapter 6, the prayer of Moses to the people he led and loved. TNC, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.